All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And we're going to do the news with Gina. But first, check out our website, brand new website, timconwayjr.com. timconwayjr.com. And after the news, I'm going to have to speak to Randy Wang about that website.
Uh-oh.
And there might be some shouting going on.
What'd I do?
You'll know soon enough.
God.
All right, let's go ahead and do the news here with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
I want you off the set.
I'm sorry, Christian, it won't happen again.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one second.
Yeah, think. Yes. What's wrong with you?
Sutherland Park, Kansas, 1985.
All right, what's going on with the news there, Gina?
Well, as you, I know you're aware, a wild chase on the L.A. freeways that lasted about 5 hours last night ended with the driver shooting himself.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it began around 8 p.m. When we started the show, when a man driving a Bentley was engaged in a slow speed chase with the cops. The police say the man was suspected of assault with a deadly weapon on his girlfriend and was supposed to rendezvous with a woman near the freeway. Well, word spread, of course, that it might have been Chris Brown, but those allegations were later proved false. In the end, the driver stopped. There was a standoff, and he shot himself in the head. He was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead.
You know, that's really weird, because I got on the freeway last night on Highland and on the 101, and he was right behind me. I was literally the first car in front of him.
Oh.
And I didn't see the guy. I saw the guy later on the news on Channel 9 when they were showing it. And it's so weird to think that that guy who was driving behind me last night is now dead. He killed himself.
No longer.
Jesus.
And he's not a high-profile person, as they thought. The sources now say that he's a Pakistani businessman, but they will not release his name.
So. Money troubles, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, he could have sold some of the... He had a couple Porsches and a couple Jaguars, but it just wasn't working out.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Well, if that's the criteria, I should have killed myself years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
should have been
money trouble.
Yeah.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, rocker icon and Tim's big favorite celebrity, Bruce Springsteen, has found himself in a little hot water recently due to a concert ticket scalping scandal that comes off the heels of his stellar halftime show at the big game. Yahoo News reports that when Springsteen concert tickets went on sale last week, Bruce fans flooded Ticketmaster's site looking for tickets, and many in the New Jersey area got an error message telling them to please try back later. When they did, they found out the shows were all sold out. But they still had a chance. A link would take them to a Ticketmaster's resale site called Tickets Now. This scalping scandal has now caused the New Jersey State Attorney General to launch an investigation because, well, these tickets might have been a little above face value. little bit.
He's still selling out the stadiums that quickly?
Selling out, and people are buying these for double and triple the price. So
Jesus
they got
Christ.
The New Jersey State Attorney General involved. Bruce has put up a message on his website, and Ticketmaster has also apologized.
Oh, man. This guy's always in my life, man. Every time I turn around, you know, Britney Spears. Well, now it's not Britney anymore, but this guy's
Angelina.
Always in my life. I watch the Super Bowl. He's there.
Yeah.
You talk about politics. He's there. Now he's in the news with Ticketmaster.
Well, Tim, I'd like to know how you feel about this. A lot of people are saying that this halftime show was the best halftime show in Super Bowl history.
I didn't look at it.
Jesus Christ.
I don't look at it for the halftime show.
Right.
You know, most sports fans don't. The halftime show is for the women.
Yeah. You watch it for the commercials.
Yeah, it's for the women and the gay guys out there. Enjoy that halftime show.
Yeah.
But real sports fans don't look at it. Don't look at the halftime show.
No?
They take that opportunity to get a sandwich,
but
go take
Bruce.
Take a crap or get a beer or something.
But it's not Britney or, you know, it's a respectable rock and roll guy.
Who cares? We've seen it. We've seen the act.
That's true.
I mean, listen, God love these guys.
Tom Petty.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, I love Tom Petty. Like when I was watching the Grammys, and, you know, I love the Grammys. We do backstage of the Grammys. But I'm sitting there watching the Grammys, and they introduce Paul McCartney. I'm like, I hope he doesn't do a Beatles song. And he does a Beatles song.
Wings fan, are you?
I'm like, wait a minute. This is 2009.
Yeah.
And, you know, the
40 years past their prime.
The Grammys, you know, big creative decision is, hey, okay, here's what we do. Let's just throw some S up on the wall and see if it sticks here. Paul McCartney singing the Beatles song. Hey, who's the new kid? Who thought of that? David, unbelievable. Let's see if we can make that happen.
Now, there's this band that's just starting to break. What if we put this band, I think they're called U2, and have them open the big show? Bono, is it?
Jesus Christ. But I did like watching Neil Diamond singing Sweet Caroline.
Oh,
that was awesome. I've never seen him do that live. That was pretty cool. But Christ almighty, there's got to be some new ideas. You know, you get that guy out to sing Chocolate Rain.
Tay Zonday.
Yeah. I watched that again today.
You're now a fan.
With this song now. 34 million people have seen this video, Chocolate Rain. It makes no sense, but I sing it all day long now. Oh. Chocolate Rain.
This should have been in the first hour.
Love it. Chocolate rain, man.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain. Build a tent and say the well is dry. Chocolate rain. Out and see the light, chocolate rain. Forecast to be falling yesterday, chocolate rain.
Jesus Christ.
Only in the past is what they say, chocolate rain.
Chocolate rain, man.
With your neighborhood.
All right, chocolate rain.
So did you catch the South Park episode where they basically devoted a 30-minute episode to him?
To Chocolate Rain?
Yeah, to all the big YouTube stars.
No.
And they all end up killing each other. And I think Tay Zonday's last words were, get ready for some chocolate pain.
Jesus Christ.
You know, we interviewed him backstage at the Grammys. I had no idea who he was. He's pushing TurboTax or something.
Yeah.
And then I went home and watched that video, Chocolate Rain.
Creepy, right?
And I can't stop singing it. I walk around the house all day like an idiot going, Chocolate Rain.
You and 34 million others, Tim.
I got my daughter doing it now, my wife singing it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Chocolate Rain. He's got a weird voice, too. He sounds like, what's his name?
George Takei.
Oh, George Takei.
Oh, my.
We even got him to say a little oh, my.
I know. He's a good guy, good but sport. Man, is that a 34 million people.
Yeah.
Have either heard that song or watched the video. 34 million.
And it's very disturbing.
Jesus Christ. All right, what else is going on in the news here, Gina?
Well, we've been made only too aware about the dangers that secondhand smoke has caused on other people. But what about man's other best friend? CBS2's Lisa Siegel sheds a little light on who else is hurt by this silent killer.
All right. Another smokers take another hit.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We all know secondhand smoke is not just bad for humans, but it also hurts our pets. A new survey finds 28% of smokers with pets would try to quit because they don't want to harm their dog or cat. Another 11% say they'd think about quitting. The survey appears in the journal Tobacco Control. Now, researchers say it's not that people love their pets more than they love themselves or their own children. Rather, it's just another factor to consider when deciding whether to quit.
Jesus Christ.
God almighty.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard of a dog dying from lung cancer? From secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
God almighty. This town is so effing weird with cigarettes, isn't it? It's almost like smokers are killing more people than terrorists.
Absolutely, because they are the terrorists.
But they're treated worse than terrorists.
Well, here's the hypocrisy. I guarantee you that the same people that are saying, I don't smoke around my dog because it's bad for his lungs, are the same people that are like, come here, hold their head, cup their hands over their ears, and blow weed right into their brain.
Right.
They're the same people.
It's eventually going to be like in a couple years, you read a story like, this dude who used to be on this sitcom turned out to be a child molester. Yeah, well, at least he didn't smoke.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
God almighty. Now you're going to kill your pets because you smoke.
Villainizing.
Jesus Christ almighty. Please, yeah. I need a one-way ticket to Cleveland, man. See if you can do that. Continental Airlines tonight. I got to get out of here.
You taking the family?
God almighty. Yeah, I'm going to take the family, but... Christ, smoking's going to kill your pet.
Jesus.
All right. What else is going on there, Gina?
Well, this has been a dismal start to the new year in relation to the job market. Forbes magazine reported on some of the top companies this month that are having to make drastic layoffs in order to keep their companies afloat. Besides SiriusXM, other major companies include General Electric with over 1,500 layoffs, Walmart with 800,
Is CBS Radio on that list?
Not yet, no. Nope.
Is CBS Evening Radio shows on that list?
God damn it.
Not this list.
Is KLSX 8 to 11 p.m. on that list?
God damn it.
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
Uh-uh.
Okay, good.
I'm scanning, I'm sorry.
Skated.
Yeah. For today, Estee Lauder, 2,000 layoffs. Time Warner Cable, 1,200.
Wow. Wait a minute. Time Warner Cable, 1,200?
1,250.
Nah, you got to keep those guys there. When my cable goes out, I want the guy over there.
Somebody
pretty
right there. Yeah. Absolutely. Cisco Systems gave the pink slip to 2,000 workers. Comcast is not doing well. And Macy's gave the walking papers to 7,000 employees.
7,000 from Macy's?
Yes. And this is...
I didn't even know Macy's had 7,000 people. You go in there, there's nobody ever working there.
Nobody to help you. This is all just for this month, by the way.
There's one guy in the furniture department.
Yeah.
Furniture department is always so depressing at these big stores, these big department stores.
Yeah.
It's always dark. The furniture usually sucks.
Yeah.
And
housewares.
Yeah, it's expensive. And there's one guy... And you don't know whether he works there or not because he's sitting at a desk. And you don't know whether that's the desk they're trying
out,
to sell or if he's actually working there.
Well, the other thing about...
And he comes over and you ask him a question. He knows nothing about what you're asking.
He's actually startled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, does this table come in different colors? What table? The table right in front of me with the four legs on it. Oh, that's a table? Oh, I thought it was a bed. Wow. Yeah, I guess... I don't know.
Well, the other problem with housewares down there is it's the only department store, I think Macy's is, where the whole store is brand new, refurbished, very modern. It's like you're in this beautiful time machine. And then when you need something in housewares or furniture, you take the rickety wooden escalator down the creaky, sad little corridor, and then you end up in the depressing basement, like you're talking
right.
about.
Right. Do you remember the depressing basement that, do you remember Bullock's?
No, I've heard of it, but I've never been.
Bullock's in the Valley at Sherman Square, Fashion Square. Jesus Christ. And when it came Christmas, they drag out these old, dirty decorations that are filled with dust and dirt, and they throw them up on top of the counters there. But being in the basement of a department store, it's always so effing depressing.
Yeah.
How about working down there? Do you remember when you used to go to Sears to get something, like with your parents or your grandparents? You know, you go to the automotive, and you go, I'll take this and this, and you pay the cashier right there. Now, at Sears... You collect your stuff, and you got to go find a cashier.
Right.
You know, there's two of them per floor, and then there's a line, and it's unbelievable
it's
what happened. But Macy's is getting 7,000 employees.
7,000, yeah.
And they seriously have 7,000 people working there?
Evidently. They have to have, more, I guess, or they shut down.
You go to the... I have never really understood Macy's. I don't know if it's high class, low class, middle class.
Mid-class.
I don't know what it is. Mid-class?
Yeah.
Somewhere
in between a Robinson's May and a Nordstrom's.
All right, so Nordstrom's is higher than Macy's.
Yeah, I think so. Just
okay.
a big
All
step.
Right. But Macy's, quite often, and this may be one of the reasons why they're in trouble, will have two department stores in one mall. There'll be a
yes.
Macy's South and a Macy's North.
Right.
Now, I don't have a business major, but I know when you put two Macy's within 8 feet of each other, one might go out of business. I don't know. One's men's, the other one's women's, one's furniture, the other one's housewares. And you got to remember where all this crap is?
You're absolutely right.
Oh, God almighty.
Well, I came to the Macy's East because I was looking for shoes. Oh, no, you wanted sandals. This is dress shoes. Take a right at the food court and keep walking.
You got to go to the other Macy's.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get there? I mean, you drive there? You take the freeway? No, you just walk. You can see it from here.
Yeah.
That's the other Macy's right over there. So enjoy yourself, young man.
Tram leaves every 5 minutes.
All right. What else is, who else is laying people off here?
Well, that's all I got
that's
right
it?
Now. But that seems like a hefty list,
all
huh?
All right. Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, people losing their effing jobs.
Very
scary. I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel, man.
Oh,
it really is unbelievable.
How could it get any worse?
All right. Gina with the news, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
Oh, good for you. And how
news.
Was it?
Give us.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said that was the news. That was the
no,
end.
No, that was the end of that list.
Oh.
But it's all good. Who
well, then
cares?
Let's introduce Gina with the news. Ladies and gentlemen, Gina in the news.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
I want you off the set.
I'm sorry, Christian. It won't happen again.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Now, don't just be sorry.
News,
think for one second.
I think he was talking to you this time.
All right, what else is happening?
Well, finally in the news, one out of six 5-year-olds in Sweden are overweight.
One out of six?
Yes. One out of 6 5-year-olds, primarily because of a lack of exercise. A new
but isn't that pretty
found.
Good? I mean, in America, isn't it more than one out of six?
It probably is.
Yeah, it's like one out of one.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not looking at Randy. I'm just saying there's a lot of... Hefties.
One out of three in here. Let's see. The study conducted by doctoral students over at the university tracked 17,000 babies born in southeastern Sweden between October 97 and October 99. They were measured at birth 1 year, 2.5 years, 5 years, and 8 to 9 years of age. The parents also filled in questionnaires, including information about their child's eating habits. Low physical activity was associated with higher weights, while the report also showed that children whose parents were better educated, especially the father, had a lower chance of becoming fat.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There you go.
If that's the case, my my daughter's going to be about 350 pounds.
Now I get cookies?
Yeah, you can have anything you like, darling. All right, well, that's too bad there. You know, the world's in trouble when the Swedes are getting fat.
Exactly.
Those are good-looking folks up
yes,
there. Always, you know, thin and tall. All right, what else is going on in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on,
all right,
Tim.
The news with Gina, man.
The news with Gina Grad.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll fill it with words.
All right, Gino, everybody. Hey, you know, I saw something today that that caught my eye, and this is a really a big tragedy in the motocross world. And we don't talk much about it, but I'm a semi fan of motocross, and I knew this kid's name, Jeremy Lusk, and he was one of those guys that could, you know, that jumps motorcycles and does tricks that you couldn't imagine. I mean, literally. In the middle of his jump, could leave the motorcycle and then grab it again, do a flip and land. And if you go to YouTube, unfortunately, you can see the video of his death. But he died today. He got hurt over the weekend in I guess it was Costa Rica. Yeah, San Jose, Costa Rica. And that's a major, major blow to that sport because that was a great kid. And an unbelievable superstar when it comes to motocross. I mean, you got to see some of the stuff on YouTube that this guy did. But he was only 24 years old. Jeremy Lusk, star of Daredevil Sport, known for his freestyle motocross and popular action sports hero, died Tuesday from head injuries suffered during a crash Saturday at a competition in San Jose, Costa Rica. And I'm sure we have listeners that know this guy. And may want to, you know, open up the phones here, and anybody want to come on and talk about this kid. But this kid was awesome. And this is one of the superstars of the game. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, like a John Elway of, you know, football, or, you know, a Kobe Bryant of basketball. I mean, this guy was, I'm pretty sure, like, the dude. In motocross. Here are the phone numbers. And he's a local kid, too. He lived in Temecula. Grew up in San Diego and was just unbelievable in this motocross. Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. He died early this morning of head injury, suffered at a crash Saturday at the competition in San Jose, Costa Rica. This kid was only 24 years old. Lusk, a Temecula resident, had been in a medically induced coma with swelling of the brain at a hospital in San Jose, and a spokesman at the hospital said he suffered severe brain damage and possible spinal cord injury. Now, the crash that killed this kid is so gruesome that YouTube has it up, but you have to, you know, go to your account in YouTube to look at it. And it was really a bizarre, you know, accident, but this kid was the best. You know, it was able to, he died doing, I believe what it's called, like the heart attack jump. I mean, it was really sort of ironic, but he was nicknamed the Pitbull because of his tenacity on a motorcycle, and Lusk was injured after falling. And he actually failed to fully rotate back on the 100-foot jump. But man, you got to look at this kid on YouTube and see not, you know, the jump that killed him, but the jumps that he really You know, he did things with motorcycles that you thought you'd never see in your life. Jeremy Lusk, L-U-S-K. Look him up on YouTube. And he really is a remarkable kid and a local kid, too. He's going to be a major blow to motocross, too. That was a good kid, and I hope we all say a prayer for the family of this kid. Young kid, too, 24 years old. Born in San Diego, born in 1984, and riding motorcycles since he was three. Turned pro at 19. And also had, like, you know, the hottest wife, too. I mean, this kid had everything going for him. And couldn't get that motorcycle turned around and broke his neck and severe head injuries. And, Jesus, it really is, you know, amazing what this kid did. So try to check him out on YouTube and some of these jumps. It's Jeremy Lusk, L-U-S-K, L-U-S-K. All right, when we come back, we have some more steroid news for everybody. Looks like baseball has taken yet another hit. And I'd like to talk to some of the guys, some of the people in the audience who have experience with steroids and see what that's all about. Because I had a notion to take it at one point. Back when I was in like college, I was a skinny kid. I was 145 pounds. I think when I started here at the station, I was 145 pounds. And my doctor recommended, he says, I don't recommend this, but some people are taking steroids and you do gain a little weight, a little, you know, a little muscle. And I was toying with it at one point. So when we come back, we'll talk to people who are on steroids and get the scoop from those guys who know about it firsthand. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. And if you follow the news, you follow baseball or any kind of sports, the big story is A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. And this comes out of Houston. If Roy Oswalt had his druthers, any player who has proven or admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs would have his numbers erased from baseball history, the Astros ace said on Tuesday. That includes A-Rod, who on Monday admitted using performance-enhancing drugs after a Sports Illustrated report revealed that he had failed a drug test in 2003. Rodriguez has 553 home runs, 1,600 RBIs, and is widely recognized as the best player in the game. But Oswald says A-Rod is simply one of the many whose numbers should be stricken from the record. Thinks anybody who admits that they've been on steroids or they can prove they're on steroids should have their numbers stricken from the baseball record books, which it is tough to do because if you take A-Rod and you take his numbers out of the baseball history books, then you have to take the numbers off the pitchers who gave up home runs to the guy as well. You know, if this guy Roy Oswalt had given up, you know, 5 or 6 home runs over his career to A-Rod, then those numbers should be taken off as well. But it is. It's a form of cheating. But more than that, people who actually do take the steroids, and I'm not talking about guys who are doing it in, you know, professional baseball, but guys are just doing it to working out and want more muscle mass. What are these steroids like? The highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the positive and the negatives in taking these steroids. Here are the phone numbers. I'm sure a lot of guys, would love to put on, you know, 40 pounds of muscle over a 6-month period. And it's so weird. When you go to Google and you put in steroids, you get the first story is Alex Rodriguez. The second entry is a store that sells steroids. I think it's a European outfit that sells steroids. So it is rather odd. All right, if you've been on steroids, you know somebody in the family who's been on them. I got some questions for you here. 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Mark in Simi Valley, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
All right, man. So you were on steroids. What type were you taking?
No, I was I almost hate to say this. I'm not really sure that they were the, I know it was an anabolic. It was a very small blue pill. And then we would also shoot each other up in the butt with the, I guess that would have been the testosterone. I took it for about a year. I was training for a cross-country run. I was working out, and that's just what we, I mean, almost anyone in the gym was doing it.
Right. And what were some of the, I mean, obviously we know the negative effects. They can
right.
lead to, you know, it leads to cancer, your kidneys are affected.
Yeah.
It leads to roid rage where, you know, you go through highs and lows. But what were some of the positives?
The positives, it's funny, you said that you were about 145 pounds.
Yeah.
I was about 150, and I was up to about 175 in literally, it seemed like a month.
Wow.
My bench press, I don't know what I was benching, but it went up 30 pounds almost just that quick.
Is that right? I mean, you noticed it immediately?
Oh, just, I mean, I'd go into the KFC and I'd get the 12-piece meal.
And just down it yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? If you know, people say that it wouldn't affect a baseball player because the guy's at the plate and he's got to see the ball and it takes skill to, you know. But what they don't realize is every aspect of your game, you're running the bases better, you're healing. You know, these guys play 120 games a season.
162.
You heal quicker. There's no fatigue. It's just, you know, when you swing a bat, I played a lot of baseball.
Right.
Sometimes when you're swinging out of the batter's box and you're reaching across the, it takes power to get that ball. And I mean, yeah, you got to have skill to see the ball and, you know how to, you know, read a pitch, but, you know, to reach over and do that. So it helps every sport. I mean, it's just that, and I don't want to sound like I'm endorsing it. I'm not.
A-Rod made a calculated decision. And it's paid off for him up until now.
So, you know what, Tim? If I was like an offensive lineman, and I said, man, I know I got one more year in me.
Right.
You know, and everyone in the clubhouse is doing it. And, you know, this has been going on for a while. And you know, when they say, oh, we think 15% of the baseball is doing it or 20, that's crazy. But, I mean, I really can't say that. I'd blame a guy if he knew he had one or two more years in him and he'd, you know, he can get on it and get the strength and get the...
Yeah, but, you know, but A-Rod's case was different. I mean, he did it when he was very young. He's only 33 years old today. And he was taking it back in 03, or he failed the test in 03, so that's 6 years ago.
Yeah, all I can say is there's a big difference.
But let me ask you also about, does it affect your sleep? Does it affect your sex drive?
You know, I was in college. I was young. I was... working out, you're young, you're
thank you.
Yeah, you're doing the bar scene, you're crazy, you're in a fraternity, and you're doing all this. You know, I didn't have the rage. I mean, what was there to be rage about?
Right. Hey, now when you stopped taking it, did your body go back to normal?
It did, and I didn't. I mean, I'd have to. In fact, I quit taking it. I was getting on a plane at the airport, and I said, heck, I better. You know, I can't explain why I got these little blue pills. I dumped them in the trash outside the airport in Oklahoma City Airport, and that was the last time I took them. I never thought much about them.
How long ago was that?
I don't remember. God, man, you know, that was 1983. I'm a lot older now, but that was, but a lot of people, it was, you know, it would just, to get them back then, there wasn't, you knew they probably were not, I don't know if they were legal or not. We never thought that they were that bad, but to get them was just easy. You just ask anyone.
You say you're a cross country runner.
Yeah, I was on a team to raise money for a hospital. We ran from Minneapolis, Minnesota to New Orleans, Louisiana.
Jesus Christ! Did it make you faster?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah,
stronger, faster. I mean, my legs. I mean, I got skinny legs. No matter how much I worked out, all the sports I played.
Like Lee Majors, the $6 million man.
I could never get my legs to beef up. Never, you know.
Right.
But suddenly they're. Yeah.
Well,
so
if you want,
especially you know, at the pro level.
Randy raised his hand. He said he can teach you how to beef up your legs.
All you got to do is have a lot of weight on it.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. We thank you for calling, buddy. Let's talk to a Frankie in Encino. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Yeah, Timmy. What's up, buddy? How
All
you doing?
Right. So you've been on steroids?
Yeah, I have. And that guy who was just you were talking doesn't know what he's talking about. If anybody says he doesn't know what steroids they were on, is lying to you.
Well, you know, but back in 1983 when they were, you know,
83 steroids were nothing. I mean, today.
Right, they were fairly new back in 83, so maybe he didn't know what he was on.
Yeah, well, maybe. But I'll tell you what. You ever, like, played sports where you won, like, a championship and you just felt so euphoric? It was, like, the best high you ever had?
No.
That's how you feel everywhere. I don't know about you, Timmy, but.
No, I was on a flag football team once that won the championship. Yeah, that was a pretty good.
You feel that feeling?
Right.
Every time you finish a set, that's how you feel.
Is that right?
You feel like you just won the World Series. You're so pumped up.
And how long were you on them?
Well, you do cycles, 6 weeks to 8 weeks. I played sports at a local college, so I'm not going to tell you what it was, but sure. Football. Blue, and yellow. But anyways, you feel euphoric, you feel strong.
What position did you play in football?
Defensive tackle.
Now, in your opinion, again, and I'm not sure what year you ever played for UCLA, but in your opinion, how many guys on UCLA were taking them?
Everybody takes them.
Everybody.
Everybody does. All the trainers can get you them. And
this is according to Frankie and Encino. So, allegedly.
But I'm telling you, everybody's on them. Everybody uses them because everybody's trying to get their name signed on a contract to make millions and buy their mom a house.
That's close were you to signing a big deal?
Never close. I wasn't that good. But I mean, I made it to college level. So
did you go to the Rose Bowl?
Say again?
Did you go to the Rose Bowl?
I didn't know. I did not play in the Rose Bowl, but I played at the Rose Bowl.
Right. Well, I know that. That was their.
I was a special team player. I wasn't. You're not going to figure out who I am.
No, I'm not. I don't want to try either. But once you finished college, were there guys on your team that went pro?
Yes.
And were they on steroids?
Yes. All of them were. So, Tim, I'm telling you, these people are signing $100 million contracts.
Right.
These guys are doing anything and everything they possibly can.
I would probably do the same thing.
Absolutely.
If you can have a $100 million contract and you take, 10 years off the end of your life because you did steroids, maybe it work. That's the math that works for most people.
Absolutely. And all these people know is to win.
Right.
The trainers, the coaches, and these guys are doing whatever they can to sign that contract.
Now, when you were taking the steroids, what kind of negative side effects did you notice immediately?
Acne, but not bad, but it was mostly body acne. It wouldn't be on your face, which was weird.
Right.
Never roid rage. I never seen anybody roid rage. I think that's a myth.
Right. How about the wiener? Did that shrink up on you?
No, but your nuts, like, I don't know if I can say that, but they stop producing testosterone because you're obviously injecting it into yourself.
Right.
But I never noticed any difference. The only thing I difference was I was bigger, stronger, faster, and it was... You can tell right away.
Give me some percentages or examples here. When you say you were stronger, give me the weight you were benching before and after.
High school, I was probably bench pressing 350, maybe 340, maybe one, two times.
Right.
And when I roided and did a couple cycles, I was well over 450. And I was in the squatting.
Jesus, that's a lot. That's a huge difference because I know when you're benching and you can bench 350, you may never be able to bench 355. There's a huge difference.
Absolutely. But it's not the muscle mass that it changes. It's your whole mindset and the feeling you get and the want to do it. Nobody wants to work out.
Physically, do you feel better?
You feel great. You feel like I'm telling you, like you just won the World Series every time you do a lift.
Right,
That feeling you get is crazy.
And how did it affect your sex drive?
That was the thing. I never had any negative effects from it. Wow. The only thing negative from it was the money it cost.
And what did it cost?
Well, the cycles, like DECA, like I was doing, they can range from $300 to $600 a cycle, depending on who you're getting it from and the masking agents you're using, so you don't get caught by the NCAA.
Right. What are some of the masking agents?
The masking agents, I have no idea about. I mean, those are their trainers. Those people, they know all about that stuff.
So on the team that you played for, and again, we're not going to ask you what year or anything, how many guys on the squad? 45?
I would say, well, we didn't hang out with everybody. Like, we stuck with our defense, and, like, the offense was often...
How many guys on the team?
I would say probably the people who did it were everybody that weren't, like, really religious or against. I would say, honestly, probably 80% of the people at least were using...
Wow. What about the punter and the field goal kicker?
They don't do it because they want to stay lean. You know what I'm saying? It's like, the quarterback doesn't want to roid because Well, now there's different ones for, you know, just to build, you know, lean muscle mass, but they really don't want to use it because they don't want, we were just trying to tear people's heads off, you know, defensive line and special teams.
You know, Frankie, I recognize your voice. When you say you were on the UCLA team, were you, you were the cheerleader for the football team, right?
I was. My hands were just hurt and everything.
Yeah.
those guys were probably on it as well.
Those guys, I don't think they really cared about getting the girls, though, so I don't know what they were on.
I don't know about that. I mean, that,
I'm going to email you, Timmy. I'm going to let you know everything.
Yeah, email me at the show here. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to know the ups and downs. Was it hard to quit?
No. I like, the only thing that was different is when you stop using them, your strength that you feel, if you start feeling like, I'm telling you, it's like winning the Super Bowl, it goes away.
Right.
I can see how people can get physically, I mean, mentally addicted to it, but not physically.
Did, when you left football, did you miss the crowds, on Saturday cheering for you?
There's no better feeling than walking out and watching 90,000 people watching you.
Yeah, I imagine that's pretty tough, especially when you get like an interception or a great tackle.
I never got interception, but I've gotten tackles before, and that when they call your name out and right. Your mom's hearing you and you know you're going to get laid after the game.
That's pretty cool.
That's the best feeling, yeah, I'll tell you what.
Hopefully those are two separate acts, though.
It all depends, man. I bet those Tennessee guys do a lot of weird things.
All right. Email. Let me put you on hold here. All right. And give him my email address, Gino. Yeah, I don't give a rat's ass. All right, the guys who are on steroids, again, it's all over the news, and you hear a lot of the negative side effects of the news, you know, of the story of these steroids, but you don't really hear the positive side. You know, guys that want to put on a little weight, a little muscle mass, and not do it their entire life, just, you know, do it and experience it once or twice. Imagine it's like doing, you know, cocaine is terrible for you if you do it for 10 years in a row. But I know guys that do cocaine, you know, twice a year, and they enjoy it. So as long as there's moderation, I imagine, you know, I'm not saying that if you're a high school athlete that you should go out there and do steroids. As a matter of fact, I think if you get caught doing that, it could be, you know, jeopardize your career. But I'm just talking about the guys that are not professional athletes, not playing in high school or college or looking for a pro contract. And, you know, you're working out at the local gym. You want to put on a few pounds? I don't know. I don't know what the big downside is here. Let's talk to Doug in Malibu. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you, sir?
Hey, man. How's it going?
All right. Were you on steroids?
Yeah, back in the 90s, probably 93 through 97, I cycled, you know, pretty much like the last guy said, about every 6 to 8 weeks.
Now, when you go 6 to 8 weeks, that means you're on it for 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks.
And then how long are you off it?
Maybe, it depends, you know, I take maybe a month off.
Right. And that gets pretty expensive.
Yeah, it does. I was in graduate school at the time, and you know, I was living on student loans, so Uncle Sam took care of it.
How much weight did you gain?
Well, I was a pretty big guy to begin with, so I would say I probably put on, I don't know, it's hard to say. I've been boxing, so up to 50 pounds, 60 pounds.
60 pounds?
Yeah, probably.
And did you notice that your hands were faster?
No, I was getting out of boxing. I just got into powerlifting.
Because I heard that one of the side effects of steroids is that your hands slow down. I mean, if you're a boxer, you're not as quick as you are off the steroids.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe that. I mean, if you look at Evander Holyfield, he competed as a cruiserweight, right? Then all of a sudden he's 235 pounds.
So you think there's a lot of steroids in professional boxing?
Yeah, I do.
There is?
I think so. I think there is in boxing. I think there is in mixed martial arts as well. Yeah.
You know, I think there is in everything. I think the baseball, hockey, football, maybe not so much hockey, football and basketball, I think a lot of these guys are on it. And you know what? If I was in the pros, I'd be on it as well.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, there's a DVD out there. It's called Bigger, Faster, Stronger. I think it's a blockbuster. It's a fairly balanced exposition on the subject.
Right.
And I think it paints a pretty clear picture of why people do it and,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
the people's livelihood.
Right. I mean, you don't want to be a Lyle Alzado where you do it to the point where you die.
Right.
But I'm talking about, again, you probably know people that do, you know, cocaine twice a year and can handle it.
Sure.
You know? I don't know. I just don't think that, you know, steroids is getting a real negative vibe in the news, and I just think there might be, you know, another side to it.
Well, I think it's an interesting issue because there's this morality, ethical issue that's intertwined in it. And I can tell you this. Look, I was in the service, and I was accepted to Service Academy, the West Point. You know, I went through physicals. I had no heart problems. I have what's been diagnosed as a congenital heart defect now. Mm. Can I say it was attributable to steroid use? I don't know, but
right.
That's certainly one of the alleged side effects.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Now, did you graduate West Point?
No, I ended up turning it down. I had another, I ended up going somewhere else.
Jesus. Well, I mean, you know, that's a real honor.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be accepted to it.
Yeah, I was lucky, I guess, to get accepted. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is this, man. You know, for what I did, the way I looked at it, I got a copy of the physician's desk reference, and I was really scientific about it. I tried not to exceed the clinical dose. So, you know, I did it in a very measured way, thinking I could avoid the side effects.
Right.
And I think I largely did. I agree with what the last guy said. I've known two guys who I would say had roid rage, but they were kind of hotheads to begin with.
Right. Well, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, alcohol. Alcohol doesn't turn you into an a-hole. It just turns you into a bigger a-hole if you are one.
I agree with that. And the thing the last guy said is absolutely spot on. You feel like every day you wake up is like the best day of your life. And
Jesus.
I don't really don't endorse
some sales pitch for it. Yeah. All right. Hold on 1 second, buddy. We're going to send you something here. We're going to give you Glenn Campbell's greatest.
Jesus Christ.
Glenn Campbell's greatest hits on CD. This collection of Campbell's Grammy winning hits goes on sale tomorrow.
Doesn't matter.
Glenn Campbell's greatest hits. Jesus Christ. All right, let's talk to Denise and Downey on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, you on steroids, baby?
No, my husband is. He's a bodybuilder.
Your husband's a bodybuilder.
Yes, he's a bodybuilder. Just to give you a little of what he does, he's 5'7", he weighs 210 pounds, and he's 7% body fat. He squats 400 pounds, he curls 90 pounds, and he deadlifts 400 pounds, so he's a pretty big guy.
That's amazing. Your husband and I have the same lifting stats.
Yeah, he's been on it since he was 19. I mean, my house is like a pharmacy. He has HGH, he has DECA, insulin, he has everything. He's like a walking pharmacy. You ask him about something, and he knows exactly what it does, what he could do with it, what can he mix it with, how many milligrams.
Where is he?
Right now he's at the gym.
Oh, he's at the gym. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, he's at the gym right now. Yeah, but he eats 8 times a day. Everything
God
is
almighty.
Measured.
And how much? And have you ever seen him get all crazy with roid rage?
You know what? I think that's a bunch of BS because my husband's like the calmest guy in the world.
Right.
His main focus is the gym, and he's calm. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. Just his life is eating and working out.
What a life.
Yeah, but when I met him, he was 80 pounds overweight, and now he's 7% body fat.
How tall are you?
I'm tinier than him. I'm 5'2", and I weigh 110 pounds.
Wow, look at the two of you. Man.
Yeah, but it's been only but good things for him, because when I met him, he wasn't doing so good, and now he's graduating from college, and he just like being big and powerful. And it's true what all the guys say. He's not addicted to the steroids. He's addicted to how they make him feel and how they make him look. He's an attention whore.
And they make him feel great, huh?
Oh, he loves attention.
And how about the old wiener?
No problems from this end. I'll tell you that. Everything works perfectly fine.
No shrinkage?
His nuts disappear practically, but that's about it. They're like non-existent.
Yeah, but I think but isn't that an advantage that your nuts disappear? I mean, aren't nuts only in the way and susceptible to getting kicked?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind at all. I just tell him, like, oh, babe, like, I don't see your nuts anymore. He's like, they'll come back in a couple of months. Don't trip.
Yeah, but why do you need them?
I don't need them. I'm just saying for him, if he feels bad.
No, why do you need them?
Oh, they produce all the testosterone.
I know,
that's why they get so small. I don't need them. He doesn't need them.
All right. I hope you're saying need them with an N, right?
Yeah, need. Yeah, yeah.
All right, darling. You're the best. We're going to give you something here.
Oh, thank you.
let's see here. Family four pack of tickets. You got four in your family?
No, it's just me and him.
All right, well, get two other people. And,
I'll get my mom.
Yeah, take your mom out there and your husband. And a family four-pack of tickets to the Stater Brothers 300 at the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. That's Saturday, February 21st. Get your tickets at autoclubspeedway.com. It's going to be a great race out there. You don't want to miss it. All right, we're going to check out the website, and I'm going to blast away at Randy Wang when we come back, and you will know why if you check out our website, timconwayjr.com, timconwayjr.com.
You know
what you did, dude.
What? Why won't you just tell me?
I'll tell you after the break. It is the I'll tell you after the break. Stop yelling in the headphones, too, you douchebag. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.